Open your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalms chapter number 4. Psalms chapter 4. We're going to have preaching tonight as a Baptist church. We didn't have an offering, but we are going to have preaching. Amen. And of course, we're going to have refreshments afterwards. You know, you can always tell a Baptist, they got a Bible under one arm and a casserole dish under the other. And so there's no casseroles tonight, but there is cake and punch, and we're going to celebrate with the young people, not just Jennifer, but our other graduates tonight. And so the reception after the service is not just for one, but for all of our senior graduates. We had four this year, and that's a privilege, and we praise the Lord to launch four more young people out into the Lord's work. And so you pray for these as they grow. Psalms chapter 4. Verse 1, I'm just going to read one verse this evening and give you a little explanation. I want you to understand I'm preaching largely to Jennifer this evening. Although the things that I'm saying tonight will be applicable to everybody, there's no one here that does not need what I'm going to say tonight, but I want to address my remarks largely to Jennifer. So I'm just going to pretend like I'm giving her kind of a father-daughter talk, and you just have the privilege of listening in. Okay, and so let's look at Psalms chapter 4, verse 1. David writes, "Hear me when I call, O God," and that is, "O God of my righteousness. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." That's a very brief verse, but there's so much that comes behind it or before it, so much background material. I could preach 2 hours this evening laying out all of David's life and the things that occurred. How many would just be willing to accept the shortened version? Would you take my word for the shortened version? Okay, I want you to get this. At the time David is writing Psalms 4, he wrote 3 and 4. Both of these psalms, Psalms 3 and Psalms 4, are called the morning and the evening psalm. David is a refugee from his own throne. David was forced out in the middle of the night. His son, Absalom, committed insurrection, gathered an army. David and his loyal followers, his loyal staff, had to flee the city middle of the night in order to save their life. Actually, David fled to keep from having to face Absalom face to face and kill his own son. So he's in dire circumstances. He's been betrayed by four different men. His own son, Absalom, betrayed him. Ahithophel betrayed him. At this moment, he thinks Mephibosheth betrayed him. And then Shimei, the son of Saul, or one of the offspring of Saul, also betrayed him. David's heart is broken. At the time he's writing and praying Psalms number 4, I want you to understand he's a broken man. He's a king without a throne. He's sleeping in a sleeping bag in a ditch somewhere outside of Jerusalem in the countryside near where a man by the name of Barzillai gave him some shelter. And so David's not a happy man at this moment. He's gone through some difficult things. Much of this is like many of our problems in life. He brought these problems upon himself. Many of you who have followed the life of David remember the story of David and Bathsheba. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then after that, he got his heart right with God. He confessed his sin. But that sin with Bathsheba created a real problem. When David tolerated sin in his own life, he then was unable to correct it in the life of one of his sons. One of his sons, by the name of Amnon, raped his half-sister Tamar, who happened to be the sister of Absalom. And since David was unable to deal justly with Amnon, David allowed Amnon to live. And so Absalom took matters in his own hands later. And as a result of that, later he killed or had killed Amnon in vengeance because of what he had done to his sister. Absalom then went into exile. David was angry. And Absalom spent years in exile. But sometime later, Absalom was allowed to return to Jerusalem and take up residence in Jerusalem and live in Jerusalem. But David never formally forgave Absalom, and Absalom was never formally restored to his family. The result of that is Absalom grew more and more bitter. He grew more and more vindictive. He organized the insurrection. David had to then leave Jerusalem to keep from killing his own son. The result of that was Psalms 3 and 4. David sleeping on the ground. Psalms 3 is the morning psalm, and Psalms 4 is the evening psalm. Now, I want you to see, as we go back and look at this verse again, David's crying out in distress. He says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." And he's talking about other times in the past. And David is saying, "Lord, there's been other times I was in distress, and you enlarged me then. I ask you to enlarge me once again. I need your help here. I cannot carry this burden alone." You know, this event would have broken David's back several years earlier. And I had this thought, and Jennifer, this is where I want to go with you this evening. It's a good thing that God enlarges us a little at a time. Because if all of a sudden we had to bear the burdens of absolute, complete adulthood when you're 18 years old, it would crush you. But God is so good. He lets things come a little at a time. And He builds us a little at a time. What you need to do is to be careful every time distress comes to say, "Now, Lord, enlarge me." And I thought about the growing stages of David. You know, he wasn't always a king. At the time that he writes Psalms 4, he's an old man. I mean, he's been king of Israel for a while. But he didn't start out as king of Israel. He started out as a shepherd, the seventh son of Jesse. And then one day Samuel came, and Samuel said, "The Lord told me to come to the house of Jesse and anoint the next king of Israel." And so they went to the oldest son and the next oldest and the next oldest and the next oldest. And every time Samuel would stand in front of them, the Lord would say, "No, this is not the one. No, this is not the one. No, this is not the one." And finally, all of the sons were used up. And Samuel says, "Lord, I don't understand. You told me to come to the house of Jesse." And so he says to Jesse, "Is there any more sons?" He said, "Oh, yeah, we got one little ruddy rat. He's David. He's the youngest. He's the runt of the litter. And he's out with the sheep right now. Would you send for him?" And so they sent for David. And here came probably a teenage boy in from the field, having shepherded, in the process of shepherding his father's flock. And when he got there, the Lord tells Samuel, "This is the one." And so Samuel took out a horn of oil and dumped the oil on David's head and anointed him the next king of Israel. Now, aren't you glad that David didn't have to take charge that day? I mean, it just shows you that God has plans for a young man, and He prepares a young man, and He prepares a young woman a long time in advance. If David would have had to become king of Israel that day, it would have broken his back. That day, it was a full day's work just to watch those sheep. And you know, the Lord is gracious to us that way. There's times when we're just shepherd boys, and He just gives us a handful of sheep to watch. But the day comes, He moves in a lion and a bear. And the day came for David that those sheep that he was watching, which were ornery enough the way it was, there was a lion attacked and a bear attacked. And then David had to be enlarged. God had to make him a bigger man. And I can see David praying before going to face the lion and praying before going to face the bear, "Lord, enlarge me. I'm not big enough to kill this lion or this bear by myself. You have to make me a bigger man." I remember it wasn't long after that David was sent on an errand. The children of Israel were in battle with the Philistines, and they were engaged in the valley of Elah. And the Philistines were encamped on one side of the hill and the Israelites on the other. And every morning, you remember, Goliath would come out and say, "Send me a man that we may fight." And he defied the armies of the living God. And Jesse sent his son David down with some supplies for his brothers. And he got down there, and David's heart rose up within him. He said, "Why doesn't somebody do something about that loud-mouthed Philistine? He's defying the armies of God, and you guys are running for tents. I don't understand this." And so David went down. You remember the story. He killed the giant. Now, he had to have bigger shoulders than he did when he was watching the sheep. You understand, God enlarged him one more time. Every time a new challenge comes in our life, it's an opportunity for God to make us a bigger man or a bigger woman. And so today, as you graduate, Jennifer, this is an opportunity to become a bigger woman. I don't mean in physical form. But it's an opportunity to grow in the Lord and to become bigger, to be enlarged before the Lord. David had several such escapades as he grew. He was called to be the musician who comforted King Saul with the playing of his harp. And once again, God enlarged him. And then after he had killed the giant, Saul promoted him to the head of the army. And David would have never, he'd been herding sheep. Now he's heading the army. God once again enlarged him. And then Saul became jealous. And it was a really difficult task for the man who's second in command to be dealing with the jealousy of the king. And the king twice cast a javelin at him. David did not lift up his hand against God's anointed. That was a huge thing. How do you think he got the strength to do that? Well, God enlarged him again. Saul continued his jealous behavior, and David continued to behave himself wisely. And David was even demoted from being the head of the army. He was put in a less important position. Still, David behaved himself wisely. Why? Because God continued to enlarge David every time distress came. Do you understand? Are you getting the picture that distress is an opportunity to become a bigger person? Do you understand trouble is really an opportunity to become a bigger man or a bigger woman or a bigger Christian? We must welcome these opportunities in life instead of fleeing them or detesting them or hating them. David soon became a refugee. And so now he is not even able to go home to his own wife and to his own family. He's on the run. He's a refugee. He's in exile. Saul is chasing him all over the kingdom. And now God sent 600 men to him. They were men who were in distress, men who were in debt, men who were discontented with the kingship of Saul. And so now David has 600 men. Guess what? He was herding soldiers, sheep. Now he has 600 soldiers that are loyal to him. And his shoulders once again had to be broadened. Once again, David had to be enlarged, and God made him a bigger man. David squared off against Nabal. And instead of killing him, he let him live himself. God took care of the situation, but David became a bigger man because of that conflict. Twice David went down and communicated with the kings of the Philistines, and he became a bigger man because of that. It's interesting, a lot of people don't think about this. Do you know that the Philistines knew how to work with steel and the Israelites didn't? The Israelites had one sword in their whole army. The Philistines all had swords, and that's why the Philistines whipped the Israelites every time they played. You know, it's kind of like the guy said, never bring a knife to a gunfight. We'll never bring a rock to a sword fight. You know, it's just not a smart thing to do. And the Israelites were always getting beat. But you know what? David spent some time behind Philistine walls as he was fleeing from Saul. And after that, when David became king, they never lost a battle with the Philistines again because David learned the secret of working with steel. Huh. Isn't that interesting? God enlarged David behind enemy walls. David defeated the Amalekites. The Amalekites took away David's families and the families of his 600 soldiers. And he went after them. And God once again enlarged David's shoulders. David became then king of Judah. Once again, God enlarged David. Now he's king of the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And then a few years later, Abner turned over to him the loyalty of the 10 northern tribes. And so now David is king of all of Israel. He started out herding sheep. He ended up shepherding men. Do you understand that God gave him these responsibilities a little at a time? David, after he became king, defeated the Philistines. After he became king, he brought the ark to Jerusalem. He subdued other enemies. He subdued the Syrians and the Ammonites. Yes, he made some mistakes. He committed sin with Bathsheba and had Uriah murdered on a battlefield. But David also prepared the materials for the temple, and he prepared a son to build it. I want you to understand, though David was betrayed and though David was in pain, David is once again saying, Lord, you've enlarged me every time I've been in distress. Would you do it one more time? Would you make me a bigger man? For each of these events, God enlarged David just enough. I want you to understand, we'll never feel too big. We'll always feel like I'm barely able to carry this load. I'm barely able to do this. But you understand, God gives us just the right amount of strength and just the right amount of shoulders. I want you to think about this. If I get to the right page here, if you have a 2-ton load to haul, and you have a 0.5-ton pickup truck, you've got a problem. You're either going to have to make 6 trips, more trips, or you're going to have to get a 2-ton truck. I guess you could break yourself down by trying to carry a load that you were never meant to carry. I think some people do that. Some people try to carry loads that they were not designed to carry, and their back is broken and their heart is broken. But what we really need, Jennifer's a bigger truck. I just need to be a bigger truck. I need to have broader shoulders. I need to be able to carry more. Now, you know the way that most folks deal with a load that's too big? They'll go to God and they'll say, "Oh God, would you please lighten my load? Would you please take away my burden? God, this burden's more than I can carry. Would you please lighten my load? Lighten. Please take away some of this burden that I'm carrying. Please help me with this." And I guess in some cases, God does take away some burden in answer to prayer. But that's never the way David prayed. David prayed, "Lord, do what you did for me the last time I was in distress. You enlarged me then. Would you enlarge me once again? I believe you mean for me to carry a bigger load. I believe that you mean for me to be a responsible person. Obviously, your plans for me were greater than herding sheep. You wanted me to shepherd men. You wanted me to be king, not only of Judah, but of all of Israel. And you wanted me to bring all of the enemies around under domination so that the children of Israel could have a temple and so that they could grow and so that they could serve the Lord, their God. Obviously, you had plans for me. Would you give me bigger shoulders? Make me a bigger man. Make me a bigger Christian. Make me a stronger person." In 2 Samuel 22, verse 37, David said this, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip." You know what he was talking to God? He said, "Lord, you've given me big feet." Now, if you have big feet tonight, most people aren't proud of that. They're not happy that they have big feet. They used to kid me when I was a teenager. My feet proportionately were so much bigger than the rest of my body. They said that they buy the shoes and I wear the boxes and put the shoes back. That was a joke. I never did do that. I always wore the shoes. But I want you to understand, you know, David said, "Lord, thank you. You've given me big steps, big feet. You've helped my feet not to slip." In Psalms 4, he said, "You've enlarged me when I was in distress. Psalms 18 and verse 36, he said, "Once again, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip." Psalms 25:17, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of distresses." Every once in a while, there's troubles of our heart that get enlarged too. And the answer is not to say, "Lord, take these away. Please, I can't bear them anymore." The answer is to say, "Lord, if you mean for me to bear these, then give me the grace. Give me the strength. Give me the heart to do it." In the New Testament, Paul said the same thing that David said in the Old Testament. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Oh, you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged." You know, we need to ask God for a bigger heart. To love the lost. To love our brothers in Christ. To love our family. To love our parents and our children and our brothers and our sisters and our spouses and our loved ones and our brothers in Christ at church. We need a bigger heart. That would be a prayer that would be good for all of us to pray tonight. "Lord, enlarge my heart." And then Paul also prayed to the Corinthians. He said, "Be ye also enlarged." He was praying that God would enlarge the Corinthians and make them bigger men, bigger Christians, bigger, more spiritual men. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15, Paul asked God to enlarge his ministry through the Corinthians. He prayed that God would actually use the Corinthians to help him to enlarge his ministry so that he might go to the regions beyond. And so we need to be praying that God would enlarge our hearts, enlarge our vision, enlarge our sights. Listen, there's so much more we could do if we had a bigger vision and if we had bigger shoulders and a bigger heart. Now, every graduation, Jennifer, means more responsibility. This is not the only graduation in life. I know Kenny doesn't want to hear this, but one day you'll find a spouse. I know, you don't want to hear it, but one day you will. And when you graduate, that's a graduation too. When you graduate to that, you're gonna experience new responsibilities. And you know what? You need new grace. You need more enlargement. And then one of these days, after you've been married for a while, the stork will come along, and you're gonna experience new responsibilities. And there may be ministry involved. I pray that there will be ministry involved. And there will be conflicts, and there will be heartaches, and there will be advances, and then there will be setbacks. And for each one of those, there's new responsibilities, and there's new burdens to carry. You need a stronger back. And I want you to know you need to be enlarged. Each time, remember, I can't do this alone. I need to be enlarged. I remember, you know, as a boy, and a lot of you will relate to this, as a boy, I used to just think if I could just get to the end of the school week, I'd be really tickled. How many of you just love to see Friday 3 o'clock come, school was over, you know, school's out, teacher let the monkeys out, and we'd go home for the weekend. I loved weekends. And then I got in high school and I thought, man, if I could ever just get this term paper done, this stupid term paper, if I could ever just get this thing done, I'd be so happy. And then one day I was finished with high school and I graduated. And then I went to Bible college, and then I thought if I could ever just get through Bible college. And then I thought if I could ever just get married. If I can ever find a woman that'll have me, that'll be a wonderful thing. And if I can ever get married. But you know what? Each one of those graduations, I found myself having to come to God. There was a sense of reality that hit me. The night I graduated from high school, it hit me. I'm finished here. I'm off on a new journey. And here I was, a boy raised in Nepa, Missouri, now going to Chicago, Illinois to go to school. And mother and dad dropped me off at 820 North LaSalle at the Moody Bible Institute in the midst of maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people in the Chicago metropolitan area. And I grew up in a town of 11 people. I needed bigger shoulders. I needed to be enlarged. And the day came that I graduated from college and I needed to be enlarged again because God had laid upon my heart to plant a church. And I said, there's no way I can do that. I can't do that unless God makes me a bigger man. I remember the day that I got married. I woke up the morning after our wedding night and I watched my wife sleep for a bit. And I said, Lord, I don't know that I can do this. I need to be enlarged. I need to be enlarged. You need to make me a bigger man. I now have a wife. A year later, on our first wedding anniversary, I brought home our first child. And I remember as my wife took the little pumpkin seat and strapped him in the back seat, and Nathan was just, like a day and a half or 2 days old, and she straps him in the back seat, and she sat down, and before I started the car, I looked at her and I said, in that pumpkin seat is potential disaster. And you laugh, but it's true. It's potential disaster. I'm not big enough to carry this load. I now have a new load. I'm telling you, that even changed the way I drove. You think I drive wild now? I really drove wild then. But when you start getting children, you realize I'm not living for one now. It's my wife and I, and then a son, and then another son, and then another son, and then a son of three sons and a daughter. Before long, there's six of us riding down the highway at 70 miles an hour and 3 tons of steel. The responsibilities even of just driving a car. Listen, you can't do this alone. And I want to tell you, any of us that try to carry these burdens of life alone are going to end up broken people. There's one place to go to carry these burdens, and that's to the Lord. And I want you to look one last time at Psalms chapter 4, verse 1. David says, hear me when I call, O God. O God of my righteousness, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And here he is, once again, have mercy upon me. And hear my prayer. Oh, if I could tell you, young people, those of you that have already graduated, and for Jennifer, if I could tell you that one thing in your spiritual life that you need not to neglect is your prayer life. Because that's where you go to unload your burdens. That's where you go. You say, what am I going to do with this? Take it to the cross. Take it to the foot of the Lord Jesus. And every adult here that's learned that lesson could give a resounding amen. It would be in good order to do that. Am I telling her the truth tonight? You can't carry these burdens alone. You have to take them to the Lord Jesus. So Jennifer, there's many things ahead of you. Lots of graduations. The ones that I referred to, Kenny, I know you don't like that, but I'm just a realist. You'd better face it. Unless God has some other plan for her life, the Lord's going to send some toe-headed idiot into her life. And you're going to say, where did she dig him up at? And you're going to say, I can't believe this. Of all the guys, you know, Kenny would say this. If you took, and he did a study, by the way. He said, if you took all of the eligible bachelors in the whole world and laid them end to end around the equator, it would be a wonderful thing. I think every father of a daughter feels that same way. But the day will come. And you know what? I'm thinking you guys are just a couple of years away or a few years away from empty nest, you know. And you got still Josiah. Josiah Tracy was pregnant with Josiah, and I preached a message on King Josiah. And Kenny got so excited about that, he went home and told her, we're going to name the child Josiah. And I said, I'm really glad I didn't preach on Isaiah's son that night, Maher Shalal Hashbaz. And I'll bet that Josiah is really glad about that too. But you know what? When your shoulders get burdened, you know, you moms at home school, you get burdened. You say, these kids are just not getting it. They're just about to drive me to my wits' end. They're about to wear me down. What do I do? You need broader shoulders. You do the same thing I've just counseled Jennifer to do. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this alone. You moms that work a job and keep house too, bless your heart. I don't know how you do that. You know, I want you to understand, your shoulders get heavy sometimes, and you say, I don't know how I can do this. You know, I've got this job I need to work, and I go home, and I still got supper to prepare and laundry to do and vacuuming to do. And how am I going to do that? You need bigger shoulders. You have to sometimes just stop for a while and say, Lord, please help me. I can't carry this burden alone. Would you please enlarge me? Listen, the answer's not a lighter load. The answer's asking God to make you a bigger person. And so I urge you tonight, Jennifer, be as big as God will let you be. And He'll neither leave you nor forsake you. Just as we preached this morning about Josiah, or about Joshua, and as He was with Moses, so shall He be with you. And you know how I know that? Somebody would say, oh, well now, preacher, that's an Old Testament quote. You know, the Lord said that to Joshua about Moses, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Yeah, but you know, in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it is, the Lord repeats that in the New Testament. Huh? When the Holy Spirit chooses to take an Old Testament lesson, repeat it in the New Testament, that means it's for us too. So the Lord has promised me that if I'm born again and if I'm walking in the Spirit, that as He was with Moses, He'll be with me too. There's no need for you to go through this life alone. And there's no need for you to carry burdens that break your back. You just need God to help you be a bigger person. Okay? Would you bow with me, please, for prayer?